Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I'm a student from MC Smith, and I am from Hudson.
Hi, my name is AJ. I go to school at Leibri, and I have recently moved up here from Manhattan, and now I live in Elizaville.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books Yay! We love, books we hate.
All that good stuff.
And books in between.
Things. Yeah, and bookish things.
Average books.
Average books.
And also, I'm kind of mad at my friend saying that bookish isn't a word.
Bookish is a word, I think.
Yeah. Do you know what it means?
It means you're bookish. I don't know. How do you define that?
It's a word if it has a meaning that is understood.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend.
That's what I say.
My friend pretended to pull out an imaginary dictionary, and I'm like, did you pull that out of your pants?
Bookish is a word. Quote, Emily Schmiedes, Hudson Area Library Director.
I feel like a library director is a fairly accurate reliable source when it comes
You're
to
the
words.
Director?
But also from Oxford.
Oh.
Bookish, Oxford adjective of a person or way of life devoted to reading and studying rather than worldly interests.
Me.
Or
me.
Of language or writing, literary in style or illusion.
That's me.
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 I'm illusion. Tag yourself. I'm illusion.
I'm going to tag myself as the writing part.
Okay.
Oh, I like
I'm going to tag myself as anything that has to do with books and whatever I love.
Nice. I like worldly interests as well.
Yeah.
But I also love books.
I
don't think they're exclusive.
I put bookish as one of my traits, and I also put my very most trait that Emily and I think Amelia knows about when we first started the show, hungry, which I am now.
Me too. The struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're excited because Amelia's back. We missed her the past couple weeks.
I got sick. I couldn't. I had a bad throat.
Well, thank you for not bringing your sickness to the studio.
Yeah.
For sparing us. But we did miss you. And we're wondering if you've been reading anything interesting.
I haven't been reading anything. But recently, the new semester started and I got into my creative writing class. So I'm actually writing some stuff now and learning about some really interesting like story formats, like two-sentence horror stories or two-sentence stories in general. Six-word stories, which tend to turn into horror stories just because of how up for interpretation they are. And today we learned about microfiction, which is fiction under 500 or under 1,000 words. The definitions varied when I looked for it, which also, because of their short length and like very up to interpretation, like things can also be horror stories. My class seems to lean into the horror aspect of writing much more, mostly because of the books we've probably read before. I mean, we read The Handmaid's Tale. At this point, we've been conditioned to go into the darker implications of things.
Yeesh.
That's neat.
But we started writing some six-word stories and two-sentence horror stories, which we started peer editing. It's just very interesting because sometimes compared to reading like a longer book, it's just... Hold on. This sentence started out with me having a clear path of somewhere to go, and it's just falling apart. I'm trying to compare it between like reading a whole novel and reading a microfiction or a short story.
Sure. Maybe it's
a
more
short
relief.
Story is, yeah, it's easier. And not easier in terms of reading level or skill, but like just lighter reading. But then it's also interesting because it also can be anything but light, like with the horror stories and with the microfiction we read today, which was a fairly dark subject matter. It's not like light in terms of content, but it's interesting how someone can get that same feeling from a short story as a longer novel would take to like with like 500 pages. These people achieve that like feeling and that mood within 500 words or less, and I think that's really cool. And I think it's really cool that we're learning about it.
Could you tell us maybe a short story? Have you written any?
I wrote a few. If I remember right, I remember one of my short horror stories. It went along the lines of, I had the dream again with dust filling my lungs. I've had this dream before. All I have to do is pray that when I wake up, I'll be able to reach for my inhaler. So I prefer to go for the real fears, like suffocation being that one. My friend has a real fear that the world is a simulation, like it's something she can't stand to the point where she can't watch The Matrix. It really, really disturbs her. So because I'm awful, I wrote one specifically for her along those lines. And she got mad at me, but... But, you know, she went at me because she wrote a two-sentence horror story about teeth. So I say it's fair.
That's interesting. Oh. I would love to hear more.
Both of us just preying on each other's greatest stories. Fears. Yeah.
Can you? If you come across any other two-sentence stories that you think are really good, you should bring them.
Yeah, to share, I should definitely
share those on the radio.
Yeah, I believe our 6 word stories have been printed out and like put on the classroom wall, and the same thing's gonna happen with the two-sentence ones. So if I see any good ones, I can take a picture and read them. Talk about them.
I just thought of one because you just mentioned thinking about others' fears. And I thought of my own fear. Well, it's kind of a babyish fear, but I still believe that there's a monster somewhere in the house. And because we used to live in the city, they were so noisy, I didn't really believe in that so much. But now, since it's so quiet and eerie, there's a tree right outside my room. And even though I close the curtains as tight as they will go, sometimes I see a shadow.
When you're in a more populated place, I have noticed that, like, fears of, like, intruders go down. Like, I've been in hotels in, like, fairly large cities for dance competitions. And when I'm in those hotels, the funny thing is, even though I'm in an unfamiliar place and something that would probably creep any other person out, I'm not as scared because I know that there are people around me. And if I were to yell, someone would hear me, which is different in your house. So it's weird all the different forms they can take because... One thing about the whole monster under the bed thing is that, like, when you're little, you're still scared that there's a monster under your bed or in your closet. When you get older, that monster might not be so much a monster, but someone who may have broken into your house, which is home invasion is, like, a huge fear as well.
Sure.
That's, like, very common.
I thought of a two-sentence story to go with that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting in the darkness of my bed, trying not to blink.
Yeah. Mm.
That's as far as I can go because I'm trying not to think of going even farther because I'm afraid that I'm going to scare myself.
Well, the whole that's it. It's also the integrity of a two-sentence.
So you need Amelia to write the true horror story for you. So. Sometimes it's too scary to write about your own fears, but get Amelia to do it for you.
Because then it goes even bigger and bigger.
Oh yeah, and bigger. Like I could not write anything having to do with teeth or orthodontal or dentistry. I would work myself into like a whole fit. I would not have a good time if I tried to write about that.
But don't blame you for that.
I have a huge fear of the dentist and anything having to do with teeth.
Yeah, I remember when we were talking about Smile by Rana Telgemeier that you were like, nope.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I don't blame you.
And that book isn't even meant to be like horrific. It really is more of a coming of age book, but just because of the subplot of the teeth, I cannot stand it. It freaks me out way too much to read.
Mm-hmm.
The braces part actually freaks me out too because she said that the brackets are on your... if you don't want to listen to this, maybe
no,
you
I'm
should...
okay with the brackets. Like, that's normal things that people do. It's the stuff that isn't normal, like teeth falling out when they shouldn't. That is the root of my fear. But general orthodontal, like, procedures, although if I were to have them done to me, they would scare me. Just hearing descriptions of them doesn't bother me too much because those are normal procedures.
And so it said that they have the brackets on her teeth. She takes out the wires, and then he pulls it really hard. And
he tightens
it even more, like...
I've heard and from people who have braces that hurt a lot when it's done. I've read from people who have it done that it actually doesn't hurt as much when it's being done so much as it does afterwards in the next few days. That's what my friends say to add braces.
What do you think, Lena?
But
Lena has braces.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
You still have them, right?
Is it more uncomfortable when they're being tightened or like after?
It's more uncomfortable when they're being put on because my mouth was starting to hurt because like remember that part where like they were working on her teeth and they had that little thing to keep her mouth open? It was uncomfortable. I just wanted my skin to just snap so I could just, like, leave and so I can go to the hospital.
I have such a hard time with that, too. I don't like having to keep my mouth open for all that time, even for a normal dentist visit. Mm-hmm. I would have had braces if I hadn't been terrified and said, you know what, no. But I was fitted for them, I guess is the right word, with that awful gel stuff. And I'm not gonna lie, I was 16. There's no reason for me to have acted the way I did, but I actually broke down in tears while this was happening to me. I was not having a good time. I was so scared. That orthodontist was the most patient man I've ever met because I'm sitting here sobbing. It was not good. It was not a fun time.
There's another part about it, and it's not only when she had the braces on, is when she went to the endodontist. That part, like, I was like,
ew.
Then she had to do the scraping of the teeth, and then she was like, oh, why don't you just give her another Tylenol? And like, in the picture she drew them, it was like they were evil with the eyebrows going down, and it was so scary.
Yeah, it doesn't help. Like, the illustration, the fact that it's so cartoony, it almost makes it worse. I feel like I'd be less disturbed if I knew this story was supposed to freak me out, but I know it's not supposed to freak me out, and I'm just freaked out by it anyway, which makes it even more disconcerting.
Yeah, it's like...
I do like drama, though, and I haven't read Guts yet, but drama is probably my favorite that she's written so far. I liked the main character's purple hair, and I think that's the first thing that ever actually made me really want to get my hair dyed was reading that book and seeing the cool purple hair.
And when that book first came out, my Bound by Books co-host, what it inspired in them was wanting to try bubble tea. Because the characters have bubble tea in the book, and nobody knew what it was.
It's so good.
Yeah. I desperately want to like bubble tea or boba tea or whatever you call it.
It's called boba, but like people say bubble.
Yeah, because it looks like bubbles.
And it's cute.
But I don't like boba, personally.
I desperately wanted to like boba/bubble tea. I've tried it many, many times until finally my mom was like, you don't like this. don't like this. It's actually a mixture of two things I don't like to drink, which is milk and tea. I don't know why I thought I would like the liquid as it is. And then the bobas are just weird and like jelly-ish and weird. And I try to drink more to rinse down the boba, and I just end up getting more boba in my mouth. And it's like, oh no, it never ends.
You have to chew it and then swallow. That's actually my mouth's favorite part.
Yeah.
When mom is halfway through it, I just...
You just have to
do you want the bubbles? Do you want the bubbles?
You gotta eat it out the bubbles.
It was like, do you want the bubbles? Because I will, absolutely will eat them if you don't want them.
I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that they had so many different flavors of the tea that I thought eventually maybe someday I'd find a kind I like, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
No matter how much I want to be cool and be able to walk around the mall sipping boba tea, I'm just not going to be that person.
Yeah. Stick with frappuccinos.
So speaking of boba tea, Lena, do you have any book you want to talk about? That was my very
That was a really
segue.
Weird segue, but it was I appreciated that segue so much.
The book does not actually have to do with boba tea.
Yeah. But it starts with the same word.
I didn't have a book to talk about because I was mostly reading the Okay Witch, but I'm going to read again just to trigger my friend. And also
to trigger your friend?
Yes.
Why?
How does that trigger
because
your friend?
Why isn't she okay with the Okay Witch book?
She's like, oh, you're done with the book? Finally! And then I'm like, but I'm going to reread.
Oh, does she want...
Does
she want to read the book?
Yeah, whenever
why would you do that to her?
Because whenever I get a book, she steals my book and then it reads it. And I have enough
of it. It's my turn.
I've had enough of it.
This is an even exchange, I guess.
Yeah.
This is a little eye for an eye thing going on.
But did you like
it?
On first read?
Yeah. But I'm just gonna keep renewing the book
until
she
the library
just
kills you.
Yeah, until the library is like
until
God
death.
Woman.
Speaking of witch books, I bought some from Barnes & Noble with my man, this inspired a thing. I don't know what I hit here, but okay. I bought like 3 books about Wicca, Wicca religion.
What's Wicca?
It's that's what these books are going to tell me. as from what I know, it's basically about instead of worshipping a god or one god, you defer to like forces of nature and energy, and it has a lot to do with crystals and seasonal changes and Yule and all that kind of stuff. Basically, I bought these books because I wanted to understand it because I had been doing research on the internet and the internet was telling me 15 different things, so I decided to just choose one source and learn from this one source, and this one source will be what I deal with. So I bought 3 books by the same author. All but one were from the same author. I'm already lying. I'm already not going from the same source.
It's okay.
My philosophy is already falling apart,
maybe
but you know what? It's
books.
Okay.
Your source can just be books.
Yeah. Yeah, I seem to trust books a bit more than the internet because the internet can be written by anybody, but I can actually like look up these authors and figure out what their like views are because the authors are Wicca practitioners. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then I open the first page and it's like, cool, Wicca religions, visualization, all that kind of stuff. And then it goes into like how to build an altar. And I'm like, wait, slow down. You're moving too fast. What like, are we talking about? I haven't gotten to that point yet. Explain to me what I'm even like worshiping here. What's going on? It's like, and it's going into all these details about how like the north and south and east and west, how the altar should be positioned a certain place in the home or in the room to like the north, east, south,
need
or west
to get
or whatever.
A compass.
Yeah, that's it. Like I have to pull out my compass app on my phone just to start this setting up. And then I don't even know. And then it's like, you got to have like 15 different candles of 15 different colors or scents. And I'm like, whoa. And then here's your crystals. And I'm like, I don't have half of those. Hold on. I'm so confused. My friend is the crystal friend in our group, and I have so many crystals just lined up on my windowsill from her. I don't know what to do with any of them. I literally have no idea what to do with any of them.
Awesome.
Wow. But yeah, it's wild, and that's just the first book. I haven't even started the other two.
Oh my god.
I haven't even started the other two. I'm just like sitting here like, okay. And it's like, yeah, choose your patron god or goddess. And I'm like, whoa, wait, from what religion? Are we talking Egyptian, Greek? Is it up to me? What? I need a bit more context here. I'm just like, what's going on? It's wild. It's absolutely wild. But it is very, very...
I think you should have stuck with the internet.
It is very, very fascinating and interesting to read.
Yeah.
Does it have cool pictures?
No, but it does have a very, very gorgeous cover with a pentacle and like a bunch of gold leaf on it, which is really pretty.
Are your parents worried about you?
My mom actually straight up asked me, are you a witch, after I bought all these books. And I said, no, not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, witch buddies.
You're like, give it time, mom. Give it time.
I'm just like, give it time, mom. Hold on.
Amelia, can we be witch buddies?
I'm sure. Do you know more than I do? I'm looking to anyone at this point.
What if next week we came on the radio and we're like, welcome to Wicca Friends.
Welcome to Bound by Wicca.
Bound by Wicca.
Or like, welcome to Bound by Wicca. And today we're going to be talking about crystals and our magic spells. But I know a magic spell.
Crystals, I guess, are that crystals, certain crystals do have a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I did buy one for myself that my friend did not buy me. That's, and I don't remember what it's called. It's a pale blue thing, which is supposed to supposedly help with over auditory like overstimulation and all that kind of stuff, which is a thing I have a bit of a problem with. So I bought this for myself and I'm like, maybe this will help, and you're supposed to feel energy from it, or at least like hold it and meditate with it, which I haven't done because awful.
You're not awful.
Yeah, but the point is, I bought these things and I'm not even doing what I'm supposed to do with them. My one friend just said, put them on your windowsill and something will happen. So now they're all on my windowsill and nothing has happened. It's been months.
Or has it? Maybe it has and you just haven't realized
maybe
it yet.
Is it something bad?
Let's hope not.
I have a bunch of those things now. My friend bought me my birthstone for my birthday as well, which is very fitting.
Oh, nice.
So I have a garnet now.
Wait. When's your birthday again?
It's January 14th. Oh. And my birthstone would be a garnet.
Oh, so my birthstone is the one that you're wearing around your neck.
The pearl? Or
yeah, I'm June.
Or you mean
the June? I'm June. I thought I was moonstone.
Yeah, no, like
but maybe I'm, because I'm later June. Maybe it's.
Maybe.
Is it by month or by?
It's like by month. Like, well,
maybe
I'm
just
pretty
have
sure
it wrong.
It's a gem. Like the gem is the pearl for the birth month.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the gem.
Maybe
not the stone.
Well, to be fair, it's okay because these probably are definitely not real pearls, but
so don't try to take
way.
Them you can't
so
claim them way. As yours.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's Amelia's necklace.
Yeah.
But anyways, I want to move on to AJ before we run out of time.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a book you wanted to talk about?
Yes, but there's just one more thing about the Wicca. Amelia, you were talking about how it was like more focused on the seasons and stuff like that.
Yes.
Well, that I think that for all the viewers that out there that have seen the Frozen 2 movie, it's actually, I think that it's actually based on the Wicca because they were like these four spirits of the wind, the fire.
That's a thing, though. Like, that is actually
earth.
A thing. After my mind was left reeling from the temple building instructions. I ended up actually skipping ahead in this book. Despite what I promised myself that I wouldn't do, I did skip ahead. And it got to talking about how to banish bad energy, also called spirits, bad energy, and how to invite like good energy or good spirits. I'm using air quotes. I think the spirits might just be another term for the good energy. But that's an interesting thing that was factored into there. And it's really interesting because I feel like a lot of media portrays witchcraft in like not a great light, like in Hereditary or even The Witch, which are both horror movies. But real life, it's like these people are kind of just chilling with their altars and and you give thanks to like, you know, the seasons and the forces of nature that like, you know, bring food and stuff. Not so much like a god, which I can understand why people would like prefer sometimes. But it's basically, yeah, it is. It's a very interesting book. Even if you're like not interested in like converting or anything, just to read about, it is very fascinating because it goes into the history of the religion as well.
Sounds very interesting. So AJ, what have you been reading?
So this time I actually did remember to bring a book, but sadly you don't have it on the table with us. So it's this book called A Tale by Letters of Liars and Leaks, and it's about the story of this fifth grade classroom that wants a new water fountain, but then the person, the director who's making it, who's designing the water fountain, goes into all sorts of crazy ideas, and then the fountain in the end, which is on the cover and the back cover, is so different from what the description was. And then in the end there was this letter that says, "Dear Florence, our cafeteria sink is beyond need of repair." Oh. And these are the instructions. And I'm like, oh my god, is there gonna be a sequel? I wonder what the kitchen sink's gonna look like. Is it gonna be like this huge fountain that has soap suds, geysers that are shooting out of it? I'm like, that's oh so my funny. God, what's going to happen? It's like, oh my god, let's hope to the Lord that there's a sequel. And I finished reading it, but I did skip some of the pages, which were just letters from one person who had a crush on this other person. And I'm like, I'm not interested in crushes. I just like, what's gonna happen?
That's so funny
about the water fountain.
Yeah. Earlier today, my friend was actually talking about how much she hates romance books, so it's funny that we both get into this topic at the same time, which she doesn't really have a reason for. I'm still reading Bitten, by the way. It's very slow going because I honestly don't like it, but I've been dared to read it. But
if you don't want to let the dare go,
I can't admit defeat now. Yeah. I'm already on page 50. It's beyond the point of no return now. The point of no return is 25. This is something I have decided for myself.
Good luck.
But yeah, I'm still reading that. It's still weird.
Well, I have a couple books I can just quickly give a shout out to, because last week the American Library Association gave out their Youth Media Awards, which are like the big literary awards, or they're considered the big literary awards, at least with librarians in this country. And so the biggest awards are, because they're the ones that have been there the longest as well, are the Newbery Award, which is for writing, and the Caldecott Award, which is for illustration. And the Newbery Award went to The New Kid by Jerry Craft, which I've talked about on the show before.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a really great graphic novel, comic book.
I know.
And he's
give it to me, please.
And he's come to the Children's then. Book Festival a number of years, and he'll be here this year as well.
Yay!
Wait,
give that book to me.
The author's name again?
Jerry Craft.
Yeah, I think he came to our school last year, but like we had a sign that said, Jerry Craft is coming to the festival this year, and it's like a comic. And then one of the people was like, who's Jerry Craft? Jerry Craft is the author of The New Kid. Welcome, Jerry Craft.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, so it won the Newbery Medal. It also won the Coretta Scott King Author Award. And this year, not as part of this award ceremony, it won the Kirkus Prize for Young Readers Literature as well. So he is on a roll and very deserving, in my opinion.
That's great that he's coming to your school.
He also made history with the Newbery Medal because it's the first graphic novel ever to win that award.
Oh, that's great.
In the history of the award.
I love now it when, I really need to read it.
Oh, I love it when graphic novels like get recognition because it feels like they don't a lot. It feels like they're considered lesser than normal. normal novels, which I can't stand when people imply that they're lesser than normal novels. That's cool that he's coming to your school. I miss the grades when, like, authors would come in to the classroom. Hopefully, maybe if we're lucky, since it is a creative writing class this year, maybe one more time before I get out of school, I'll be able to maybe have an author come in, since that's basically the basis of our class is writing. That would be great.
But what if you end up being one of the authors that gets to go to the grade?
That would be great.
That means I would know an author.
That would be
really. Yeah,
that would be really. That would actually be really nice.
Hello, my future author of my favorite book that I'm going to.
So the one other book I wanted to give a shout out to was The Undefeated by Kwame Alexander and Kadir Nelson. Kwame Alexander has also been to the Hudson Children's Book Festival before, and this is a great book, and it's very appropriate for Black History Month. I'll read you the little description here. The Newbery Award-winning author of The Crossover pens an ode to Black American triumph and tribulation with art from a two-time Caldecott honoree. So now, with this award, it won the Caldecott for Kadir Nelson for the illustrations, and it was also a Newbery Honor book. So Kwame Alexander was awarded that. And it was a winner of the 2020 Coretta Scott King Illustrator Award. But it says, originally performed for ESPN's The Undefeated, this poem is a love letter to Black life in the United States. It highlights the unspeakable trauma of slavery, the faith and fire of the civil rights movement, and the grit, passion, and perseverance of some of the world's greatest heroes. The text is also peppered with references to the words of Martin Luther King Jr., Langston Hughes, Gwendolyn Brooks, and others, offering deeper insights into the accomplishments of the past while bringing stark attention to the endurance and spirit of those surviving and thriving in the present. And it's just a really lovely book. I love Kadir Nelson's illustrations. He's, in my opinion, one of the best children's book illustrators in the world. Basically any book he illustrates, I will get, because his work is just beautiful. But yeah, I'm very excited for them that they won those honors.
So for the last author, even if it were a story that he illustrated that you don't really like that much, would you still read it because of his illustrations?
If I didn't like the story that much? Well, I guess I wouldn't know until I read it.
Would you just
well, I mean,
look at the illustrations?
Sure. Yeah.
I've bought books to just look at the illustrations, too. That's basically all I do with my I Spy books now, is I look at the illustrations are really the light word. The sets, I guess. But I do have a book of fairy tales that I look at, because they're all fairy tales that have been made into ballets. So the Nutcracker, Swan Lake. So the illustrations are beautiful in those, but I've never actually read the stories because I know them already. They're classics.
Yeah, but he's pretty selective of what he illustrates, I assume. So they're usually pretty good. He also has written some children's books as well, but he's primarily an illustrator or an artist. But anyways, we're out of time for today. But we'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
And I was just about to say something. See you, viewers.
Remember it for next time.
Yes.
We hope everyone has a great week, and
we hope that Amelia will be with us next week.
Yeah, I know. I've been gone a lot. I'm sorry.
No more getting sick. Anybody.
I'll try.
Never again.
I'll try.
My immune system is gone. Let's hope that we're all too healthy for that.
I've been through 3 years of high school. My immune system said we're done. Fourth year, we're leaving.
And scene.
Anyway, bye.
Have a good week. Happy reading. Bye.